Welcome to the Mobile App Flipping Podcast. This is your host, Johan Tayeb. My goal is to help you get the most out of reskilling apps. Whether you're already a full-time entrepreneur or trying to get a business going, this podcast is for you. We will be interviewing professionals that are already doing app reskilling for a living. We will also invite source code sellers to get to learn about what they have to offer. And finally, we will talk to industry experts to learn how to become more productive at flipping apps. And now, without further ado, let's get started. Today I have an amazing guest. His name is Jeffrey Pavasic. Welcome, Jeffrey.
Yeah, welcome. Thank you.
So it's my pleasure to have you here. And the reason why I got you as a guest today is because you've been doing some app reskinning, and I saw you have a pretty big portfolio of lots of airplane games out there. I don't want to talk too much about it, so can you tell us about yourself, how you got into this industry, and what's your background?
Okay, my background, actually my wife and I are a team on this, and my background is I'm a certified public accountant, so not the typical background you'd expect for an app reskinner, but I currently work for a large organization in the secondary mortgage market down in Virginia. We're actually just moving down here. My wife is retired, and she has a small graphics printing business on the side, which kind of keeps her busy. It's more like a hobby than anything else.
Okay.
I got into app reskinning. It was interesting. I was looking at internet marketing, I guess about a year ago, and I didn't really take to anything that I was seeing, but one marketer pointed to Chad Moretta's App Empire course. And he's done a lot of work mainly in non-games and things like that, app creation. So I saw some of his videos and I decided to take his course. We actually did. And that's what got me into apps. And what came out of that was a really tight-knit community of App Empire alumni, as we call ourselves. And a number of them got into game reskinning, and that really was how I got into it. Initially, I was hesitant to reskin games because it was basically we all wanted to create the next great app, whether it would be a flashlight app or some other utility app or a photo app or so on.
Okay.
So we all kind of stayed away from reskinning, but there was a vocal minority that got into reskinning, and their success kind of motivated me to get into it myself. My initial app was based on Chad's teaching. It was a photo app, which received a lot of compliments, but not a lot of downloads. So I knew that was going to be a tough market to crack.
Yeah.
So I decided to look at game reskinning.
Okay, so from what I understand, so you started by creating your apps. That was your first, your first insights of the whole mobile industry, and
yes.
And then you slowly shifted into game reskinning.
Yes.
Okay, got it. So, how many apps and games do you have so far in the Apple App Store?
Between my wife and myself, we have approximately 30, probably another 6 in the pipeline under development.
Oh wow, excellent! Do you mind sharing some download numbers?
In total, about 150,000 over 6 months.
Wow, excellent.
Obviously, some do better than others. You don't hit a winner every time.
Yeah, okay, definitely. And so, from what I understand, most of your games are airplane games. Am I right? Or
For a period, I was getting into airplane games where I was, because the public really seemed to take to those games, whether they're World War II planes or Cold War planes or Vietnam era planes, they seemed to do really well. What I was concerned about was oversaturating that type of app in my accounts. So I branched out to some other types of apps that are based on jumping games or slots games, casino type games. So I'm trying to vary my background a little bit, but I always come back to the playing games at some point.
Okay, yeah, definitely. Expanding your portfolio always helps. Mm-hmm. Now, something that's very special about you is that you're saying that your wife helps you, or your wife has she has her own games. So how does it work? Did you get her into it, or how did it happen?
Well, we basically both took the course together, and what I've done through my contacts is identify good source code, and we basically will come up with themes for the source code. You know, whether it's a shooting game like the airplane games, or it's a jumping game, or it's a slots game, we'll both come up with ideas for themes and come up with samples for graphics to give our designers and our developers. So in that way, it's kind of a community effort. We're also in the background trying to come up with our own original game, not to be the next Angry Birds or Candy Crush or anything like that, but something that's a little bit different out in the market. So it's really a community effort between the two of us.
Okay, and my question is, for those new games that you're trying to do, are you creating those from scratch, or are you trying to find a source code that already satisfies most of what you need?
Well, I've built up an inventory of source code over the last 3 or 4 months. Every time I see something I like, I may not reskin it immediately, but it's something that I'll say, all right, it's priced right. I can think of 4 or 5 or 6 ways to reskin it in terms of themes, or we can, and I'll buy it and put it on the shelf in inventory. So the games we have coming up are basically using source code that we already have on the shelf. We're drawing up an original game, but that requires a lot more funding, so we're hoping to use the reskins to fund that.
Oh, okay, got it. And are you planning by any chance on reselling it as a source code with a license? Who knows?
I haven't really, I've seen more people do that. I haven't really gotten into that yet. I've thought about it. But it's like we're so busy with managing the development of the reskins, we haven't had time to really think about it. I keep telling myself I need a virtual assistant and a project manager just to keep all of this in order. It's challenging to do when you have a full-time job.
Yeah, definitely. And you're not the first one to say that. I had some previous guests, and they were saying the same thing. They want basically some kind of a project manager. But what we talked about is that you know, the project manager has to take his own cut as well. So, you know, it's part of you know, it's part of the revenue that's taking out of you as well. So, you know,
yes,
you have to take this into account.
Yes.
Okay. So you said right now you have 6 games that are in progress, right?
Yes.
So how do you do that? Do you have multiple developers and multiple graphic designers, or do you usually deal with the same one?
Well, I've learned that every development team that's put together, which is basically for me a graphics person and an integrator, as I call it, they have a capacity. They can only do so many games in a month, and I'd like to do 4 to 5 games a month. So I basically figured out I need 2 teams, maybe 3 teams. I have 2 teams now, and they get pushed to the limit sometimes in terms of deadlines, especially at this time of the year, because the App Store will close sometime in December, and you basically have to get your apps in a week before if you hope to get them approved in time. For instance, some of the apps that we have in the pipeline are Christmas-related apps, because they're very popular at this time of year. So I really have to have them staged and ready in early December to submit. Excuse me. So one team won't do it. I need 2, and I have 2 that are fairly reliable and talented. I'd like to get a 3rd. And that's where the project management comes in. Because what I found is the good teams are in India or they're in Eastern Europe. So you run into a time zone issue.
Okay, got it. So you'd rather have some kind of a project manager that would be up whenever they're up and things like that, right?
Yeah, I can't tell you how many Skype calls I've had at 5 in the morning, which is a little tough for me at times.
It is for everybody.
Yes.
Okay, now, where do you get your freelancers? Most of the people usually get them on Odesk or something like that. Do you do anything different?
Well, within our community, we will at times recommend different people. And so some people will share their outsourcing resources. And that's how I picked up one team. Another team I took a chance on because they contacted me on Facebook. We had a number of conversations. They showed me some of their portfolio and we went from there. I found my experience with Odesk has been rather uneven in terms of what people say they can do versus what they actually will do. And the thing I've learned and that I remember that Chad Moretta always said is hire slow and fire fast.
Yep.
So I've been through a number of teams, and it's really developing a good relationship with them, a good trust, and not trying to nickel and dime them in terms of paying for their services. Although you want to keep your costs down, I want to keep them. I'm trying to get them on a retainer basis, where we talk about, you give me a certain number of hours every month or a certain number of games every month, and I will pay you at the beginning of the month and then at the middle of the month. So it's a different approach than game by game.
Okay, I see. And the great thing about game reskinning is that once you already have a developer and a designer that's already used to the source code and already has been through it once or twice, then things just get easier and faster. So it's a win-win for everyone here.
Absolutely true.
Yeah. All right. Now, let's try to focus on one of the games you have. Which one has one of the simplest source code to deal with and that brought you some decent profit?
Well, the first in the series of air superiority games, as I call them, just to give a little bit of a brand, was the Battle of Britain that we put out. Oh, I guess it's been live in the store for 5 months now. And it basically was a code that I had purchased from somebody from our community. And as I said, I could see four or five themes for it. It was a fairly simple game to reskin in terms of there's three user planes and there's eight enemy planes. And then there's the typical buttons and instructions and background and fore and midground and so on. But fairly easy to reskin, limited graphic set. That was the first one, and that turned out, to my surprise, to be very popular. And we were very successful with it. It was basically creating graphics and putting them into a sprite sheet. And then the code would basically pull it out of the sprite sheet. So fairly simple.
Okay, so so you had some kind of documentation or walkthrough to help you through the whole process for the first time?
I was friends with the developer or the person who sold me the code, and he had reskinned it a couple of times on his own using a totally different theme, genre than I used. So I was able to bounce questions off of him. But the developers themselves, my team, had said it was fairly easy to do once they got past the point of how to create the sprite sheet.
Okay, so basically there was just a dozen images to change there?
Yes.
Wow, that's amazing. Make a whole game with just that few images.
Yeah, really. I will tell you, it took them 3 weeks to reskin it the first time, and then it took a week to reskin it a second time with another theme.
Yeah, once you figure out what you need to change, and things just get easier, huh?
It became very simple for them.
Okay, how about the audio files? How many audio files was there, and did you have to actually change them or not?
There was basically, besides sound effects for bullets firing and explosions, there was basically two music files, the intro music file and then the gameplay music file. So again, very simple. And since I'm so frugal and cheap, I basically found them on the internet for free.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Everybody does that for sound. From what I understand, there isn't really like one source for sounds for game reskinning. Everybody just surf the web for hours and try to find some sources. Even though we have one previous podcaster, his name is Jeff Davis. You probably would listen to it, and he's actually creating some packs, some images packs, and some sound packs. Just ready to use type of thing.
That's an interesting approach. There are people on Fiverr that will create music once you describe the theme to them and show them, for instance, the splash page or maybe a gameplay page, and they'll actually create music for you. I haven't tried that yet, but it's been recommended to me by a couple of people in our community.
Oh, excellent. So for the audience, for those of you that don't know what Fiverr is, it's basically a website, Fiverr with two R's at the end, where you can buy any type of services or product for $5. That's all. And usually it's a great source to find icons there. You can get a pretty decent icon for $5.
Yes, and your risk is very low at $5.
That's right, yes. okay, now, how about... social integration, was there any kind of game center that came with the game, or leaderboards, or type of achievements?
We used Game Center. That was integrated. But as we got a little bit more sophisticated and mature, I guess, we also integrated NextPeer, which gave people the ability to play against others.
Yeah, definitely. So NextPeer really allows you to have this feeling of playing in, you know, playing online with multiple people, but it's actually fake. It's just, you're not really, the other person is not playing within your game. It's just basically synchronizing two different phones together.
Yes.
And it gives you the feeling of being, of playing in multiplayer, but you're actually not really doing that.
Yeah, and they broadcast highlights of how well you're doing, how well the other player is doing in a banner. So it makes it, the competition makes it somewhat interesting.
Absolutely, and it does have a viral value to it in the sense that competition always brings people to your game and keep playing longer, or even invite friends and family to come in and download your game.
Yes.
All right, now how about localization? Was there... I mean, you know, in games, there isn't that much text here, right, in airplane games. So did you have to localize it in different languages, or you just kept it with just plain English?
I just kept it with plain English, and it was surprisingly popular in Russia. You know, at least the Battle of Britain game was.
So the game was in English, but it was still popular in Russia?
Yeah, it was popular in Russia. Yeah, we got good results from England, the U.S., Canada, France, but the game was simple enough that probably a lot of localization wasn't required.
Yeah, excellent. I do have lots of games, like word games, and if the game is not localized, then it just won't say in a specific country. But those are word heavy. So,
yes.
You know, I can actually say see that whenever I translate it in French, then it just boosts my, you know, my downloads in French-speaking countries and so on. But as you said, you know, the airplane game definitely, you know, there isn't that much text involved.
No, it's basically move and fire.
Yeah, how hard could that be, huh?
Right.
Okay, now let's talk about price. Did you find it pricey?
I think in terms of knowing the person I bought the code from, I got it relatively cheaply. And I think I paid $250 for the code.
Was that an unlimited license? I assume so, right?
Unlimited license. I never buy a single license because, as I said, my philosophy is if I can't imagine 4 to 5 to 6 reskins of the code, I don't buy it.
Okay, I see.
Because I basically drive down the cost of all the succeeding games by having purchased the code already. I look at single licenses as basically you've got a partner now every time you want to reskin it.
Absolutely. Now, I'm sure you made a decent profit with it since you've been reskinning it so often, right?
Yes. I think, I guess to give you approximate numbers, the code was about $250. The reskin itself with the graphics, about $300. So my investment was $500 to $600. I made that back in less than a month on Battle of Britain. And probably have made around $1,000 on it. And if you consider that the next game only cost me around $300 to reskin it, and did almost as well, I'm making my money back on succeeding games within 3 weeks.
Wow, so basically every reskin you increase your margin profit there, huh?
Yeah, it seems to work out that way.
Excellent.
I mean, it was interesting, when I stick with the plane themes, I do better. I have a game based on the same code that is a space-based game, which has rocket ships and enemy rocket ships and things like that. And it's the background is space. Didn't do nearly as well as the plane games.
Oh, okay. Now, how do you decide when to stop from using that that specific source code and move on to something else?
I think that... And maybe this is my philosophy from having I only buy code that I can reskin, that I have ideas for reskinning 4 or 5 times. I think if you reskin the same thing too often in a shorter period of time, you'll get out on Apple's radar, and they may not appreciate the fact that there's no change in functionality, just change in graphics. I think players at times will get tired of the same code over and over and over again. So that's why I'm trying to branch out into other codes. And I think I get bored with the same code after a while. And if I find something that I really like, and it's personal preference that I think will sell, I'll reskin that and stop reskinning the original code. But I certainly will reuse the code in the future. I just may give it a rest for a few months.
Okay, so you let it sit, and whenever maybe you have some new fresh ideas, you just apply the theme to the airplane game, right?
Yes. I mean, for instance, we'll reuse the Battle of Britain code for one of our Christmas theme games.
Oh, okay.
We won't use it again for 3 or 4 months, I think.
Okay, so tell me more about that Christmas game. How could you turn an airplane game into a Christmas theme?
Without giving away too many secrets, one of the user planes will now be Santa and his sleigh.
Firing. Okay, I see. Yes, so definitely it happens in the air. Okay, then.
The background will be the North Pole, so he'll still be in the air. There'll be evil elves, there'll be Grinches as enemies and so on. But you can do things with that code that aren't necessarily plane-based. But as I learned in the Rocket game, not every theme will work.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that was pretty much all the questions that I had about that code. Now I have some very generic questions. Now, I know that the mobile app reskinning, the mobile app flipping industry is pretty new, so there isn't that many resources available. But is there any book you'd recommend or anything that helped you along the way that you would advise?
There were actually two books, and the first, I guess the first book was my inspiration for getting into apps, and that was App Empire by Chad Moretta. Mm-hmm. As I said, he didn't cover a lot of games. He was more into reskinning of utility apps and entertainment apps and things like that. But he was the one that got my interest in how I got my foot in the door. The other book that I think is crucial to read if you want to get into game reskinning is a book by Elaine Haney called App Escape Plan. And she came out with the book, and she also has a Udemy course that basically takes you through the nuts and bolts of reskinning. Assuming you were doing it all yourself and only outsource the graphics work. So, but she'll also recommend that you outsource as much as possible. But she's been a dynamo in this industry in terms of building her own business and really running it as a business, not as a hobby, not things that she likes to do as much as things that she's evaluated will make money for her. She was in our App Empire community when we started out. But she's become somewhat legendary. So her book is App Escape Plan, and her you can find her course on Udemy. She also does her blog, which is the chocolatelabapps.com, where she tells you about some of her adventures in game development and reskinning. And it's always interesting reading. So I'm a big fan of hers.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I've read her book on Amazon. It's actually a bestseller. She really knows her stuff, and she really, she's like, she's a great solo entrepreneur. She really knows what she's doing. And I actually stumbled upon her just by chance, like about 8 or 10 months ago, when I was doing some, App Store research. I was just typing some keywords just to find the name of my following name. For my following game, I basically wanted to create a word game that you play some kind of words with friends. However, you play it solo, and you play it against different cartoon characters, famous cartoon characters. And as I was typing some keywords, the majority of the search results. I could find her stuff everywhere. Like I saw, by Elaine Haney. I'm like, but who's that person? She's everywhere. I'm like, how does she do that?
She's amazing, and she's a great businesswoman. I mean, you find her everywhere because she does market herself well and promote herself well, and she does a really good job with that. But she basically, a year ago, was where we were in terms of learning the business. I think she even purchased a used MacBook to basically get herself started. So she's kind of like what we all would like to grow up to be. if we had the chance. But she knows her stuff, and she's just an amazing lady.
Yeah, definitely. I may invite her on the show someday. She definitely has a lot of advice for everybody, that's for sure.
Okay,
now, is there any online resources you would advise?
Other than her blog, there are plenty of sites, as you said, to get sound effect, music. I don't think I've used any other resources except for the people in our community. They'll always give you ideas of where you can look for source code, and they'll give you some recommendations on good source code. So it's kind of been the community feeds upon itself in terms of recommendations and offering assistance and things like that. I have a long list of sites that people have recommended, and I don't think I've been through a third of them yet.
Okay. Well, that's been amazing. Now, how do we get in touch with you?
Well, my wife and I publish. We have separate accounts, and mine is under Jeffrey Pavasic. Hers is under Althea Spence Pavasic, hyphen in between Spence and Pavasic. You can also reach us on webmaster@appsfantastic.com. That's appsfantastic.com. We do have a website that is we've been neglecting since we're so busy, but it's on my list of things to get going.
Well, let me reassure you, that's been the trend from anybody that's reskinning apps that I've had on the show. Nobody takes care of their websites because they're so busy with making apps, you know.
Yeah, and I've taken a couple of shots at the website, and I'm hard to please. So I can never carve out enough time because I'm sitting down. Because one of the things that I do with my graphics people is I will give them sample images that I want them to create. So I, for instance, when we did Battle of Britain, I downloaded all the different planes from that era. And, you know, giving them different perspectives, side view, front view, top view, so on. And I said, this is what I want you to create. And we went through and we created each plane. That takes a large amount of time. And if you're trying to do a pipeline of four or five apps, it never stops.
Yeah, for sure. I believe you do have some kind of a freebie for our audience, right?
Yeah, I put together a pack of some of the planes that I used in Battle of Britain and some of the other buttons and instruction, on-screen instructions, and even some explosions that we've used in the succeeding apps to Battle of Britain. And I'll pass that along to you, and I think you can host it and people can grab it.
Okay, so this has been absolutely amazing. Thanks for all your help and all your good advice, and we hope to hear from you soon, and wish you just great success.
I thank you for having me. It's been a real pleasure, and certainly enjoy the holiday season coming up. I intend to.
All right, thank you. Just a little reminder, you can get all the show notes and the freebies that Jeffrey is giving away on appfresh.us. Okay, just check the podcast and find the Jeffrey's interview and get all the good stuff there. Thanks for listening to the Mobile App Flipping Podcast. If you find this podcast interesting, please subscribe on iTunes and leave us a review. And sharing is caring, so spread the word. You can also follow me on Twitter at Johann305. That's YOHANN305. Also, come to appfresh.us, appfresh.us. You'll find all the episodes, the show notes, and resources to make you more productive. See you at the next episode.